off. You can hear it rattling.
It's nice to be here with you this morning. Nice to be back. I always try to remember, what did I say last time? So I don't have any reruns, and then I laugh. I'm like, they're like my sixth graders. I have no idea what I said last time. So, so I'm sure it's on there. But for those of you that that aren't aware of what Heartbeat is, I think most of you are because you've been longtime supporters of Heartbeat in Morrow County for years and years. But we are a crisis pregnancy center that's part of an international organization now, but it is based in Columbus, Ohio. So it is right here from the Buckeye State. Tammy Brown started the Morrow County chapter clear back in 1985 when she saw a need. And so she opened up her own home and began to counsel with young people and then start to ask churches and area community members if they had baby beds and strollers and things that these young people could use. Because she realized they were between a rock and a hard place. And at that time, they really needed some Christian love. If we let the government inform our kids about the ways of life and we don't step in and tell them what Christians believe and what God would have them believe, they're not getting the whole story. This is an analogy I know I've used with you before, but it's my favorite. I'm a science teacher, and I love science and animals and wildlife. And if I were holding an eagle egg in my hand and I were to crush it, I would be in a lot of trouble. It's protected by our government, and it should be. And we would be mortified if someone crushed an eagle egg. But it's not an eagle egg. It's this little guy that's about 10 weeks on his journey to meet us. And he's so much more precious than a bird. And he gets absolutely no protection from our government at all. It's up to us to make sure that we're not staying silent and that we're letting these young people know that when they are at these points in their life, when they are filled with fear and they're filled with anxiety and they don't know what to do next, that it's not enough just to pat them on the back and say, choose life, good choice, and send them on their way, but then to be there and help them through those hard times. So we do offer free pregnancy tests. And back when I was trying to start a family, those were a pricey item, and now you can get them for $1, but people are still coming in to get them from Heartbeat, and that's because there's something else they can get from us that they want. God is guiding them towards us. They also need a little piece of paper that is proof of pregnancy that they can then get WIC and some of the financial help that they need for their little one, and that's a need that they have that thankfully we're allowed to provide. There have been some legal loopholes and things that have happened over the year, and God protected and made sure that we were an agency that could give that piece of paper, because that piece of paper is our foot in the door with a lot of these young people, that when they come in, then we start to build a relationship. So they needed that piece of paper, but now they know us, and they know who we are, and we hope that they'll come back over and over again. We provide counseling and also education. We have devotional books, and we have parenting videos, and we have books that they can read about finance and relationships and things like that as well. I'll share some of their work with you here in a minute. But we also provide free used clothes and diapers and wipes and new clothes and larger baby items like strollers and high chairs and things like that. The only things that we can't give away used are baby beds and also car seats. And so we do have some baby beds there, so some of the funds go to buy the baby beds that have they convert, so they go down to a toddler bed, and then there will be a headboard for a twin bed to be a day bed, so they can grow with the child, so they don't have to buy new things. And in order for them to get that, they're going to need to earn 30 baby bucks. So they're going to be with us for a little while, doing those videos and filling out the book reports, and that gives us a time to grow with them and to get to know them and for them to get to know us and for us to pray with them. The blessings that God has heaped on us have been amazing. We've moved since 1985. We went from her house to several different locations, and every time a door gets closed, God opens another one. And we are back behind Pizza Hut in where Dr. Hintz's office used to be, back there on Baker Street. And we are buying that that building from Dr. Hintz. He gave us a great deal. He supports what we do. And God's perfect timing. We've been a little slow lately. when we got the building, we said, this is awesome. We can knock down walls. We can paint. Then we were scared, and we didn't, because that's a big thing to take on. So we didn't. So during COVID, we slowed down, you know, considerably. We stayed open all but 2 weeks. There were only 2 weeks that we didn't have available volunteers, but we kept our hotline open. We made some diaper deliveries. We did have some clients that were hospitalized, and their families reached out, and we were able to deliver the things that they needed for their kids. But we stayed open, and we did have people come in. Normally, we have, in a normal year, we had 395 visits to our boutique to pick out the newer items, and this time we only had 161. So it was down, but they were still there. Instead of 51 pregnancy tests, they were only 11. And instead of 369 packages of diapers, there were 217. And instead of almost 2,000 outfits, we had a little over 1,000, but it was still 1,000 outfits that are going out to our community for people that need them. And something new that we did this year, we had a lot of blankets that were donated, those hand-tied ones, and some quilts a quilt group had made, and some that people had knitted. And so we ran a campaign where everybody could come in and get a nice, great big blanket for all of the kids in their house, even the older ones. And that was a lot of fun, because the kids that are over the age of 5, we don't have clothes up that big, so usually they're standing there like this, whether siblings get things. So to be able to say, come in this room full of fuzzy blankets and pick one out, that was really fun. And there were a lot of families that were in the service industry, so the stores and the restaurants where they worked were closed. And while there were some other resources available for them, a lot of them were having trouble with their heat and things, and so those blankets came at exactly the right time, in God's perfect timing. So while we were a little slower, there was a great flood, but that was God's perfect timing too. I stopped by to pick up some baby bottles to drop off to a church, and I stopped when I knew there'd be nobody there, but there were all these cars in the parking lot. I thought, what's going on? And there was some root problems with our drainage system underneath of the parking lot, and the basement was filling with water, and that's where we store all of our back stock of everything, and that all of the diapers are down there. And you can imagine what would happen if all of those diapers got wet. That would look like something from a sitcom. It would have swelled up and exploded. But if it would have happened on a Tuesday or a Thursday afternoon, no one would have known. The water would have come up. We would have lost a lot of things. But it happened Tuesday, and right as the Tuesday morning group was getting ready to leave, they took one tiny little baby hat down to put it in the storage thing, and they saw the water, and were able to call people in. And so it was all taken care of. We didn't lose anything except some carpet pad and a little bit of drywall that turned out to be in our way anyway. So now we've remodeled down there and changed things, and it works better for us. And that was God's plan in the beginning, but we weren't doing it. So he decided to water it down for us and get us started. So that is finished. Something else we've been able to do that's a little different is our video things. Usually when the clients come in, they're sitting in this. There's kind of a small room, and they're sitting and watching a parenting video, and we sit with them, and we talk about it, and the videos are a bit dated. Some of the outfits they're wearing look like some of the Halloween costumes you might have seen recently. You know, they got big hair and some 80s jewelry, and so we knew that they needed to be updated. So one of the things that we're taking on is a whole new video series that is online, so that if people are uncomfortable with coming in or unable to come in because of their childcare situation, or the baby sleeping, or the baby's sick, or they're quarantined and they've got some downtime, they can call us up and say, hey, I'd like to watch some videos. And we make this online thing accessible to them and help them choose some that would be appropriate. And then they can watch it, and we can see that they are watching it. And then it has these questions that go with it. And then we are able to talk with them either through video chat or when they come in to get the baby bucks for that, about what they learned and what they got from that. So we're excited about it, because instead of having like 50 different video choices for them, now we have 2,000, and every month new are coming out. So it's very relevant to what the girls are wanting and what they're into. And I say girls, it's not just girls. We have a lot of grandparents that have custody of little ones and need help, you know, with these clothes and diapers. You know, they're on a fixed income, and they weren't expecting to be raising kids all over again, and that's a situation for a lot of our clients, and we have a lot of dads that come in too that have the little ones. So we've got a wide variety of what they need now. So I want to share a couple of things that they have shared with us. One of them is from a book report that one of our clients did. Inside of the book, it tells what you need to do to get your 4 baby bucks or 2 baby bucks or whatever that one is worth. And this one is a very thin one called Know Your Bible. And if they want to keep it, they can. If they want to draw in it, write in it, highlight stuff, they can do that. We have multiple copies. If they want to share it with someone else, that's fine. Or if they want to bring it back for someone else, that's okay too. I took her name off of here, but she said I could share this. She needed to first list 10 new things that she learned about the Bible. And this has like little summaries of each book and who's in them and what are the high points of it. So I won't read you everything, but a couple things stuck out to me. She wrote down that she likes 2 Samuel because it talks about how Samuel became Israel's greatest king, but he also had flaws. And a lot of these young people think that the Bible is this ancient book that doesn't apply to them, of perfect people, and you're all perfect people, and that they're not going to fit in, and they're not going to find what they need here. So it stuck out to her that he had flaws, and he did great things anyway. She also wrote down Ecclesiastes because it talks about how with God our life is empty and unsatisfying. She wrote down Song of Solomon because it talks about how married love is a beautiful thing worth celebrating. And she was not a married lady, but it was something she was very much looking forward to in her life. She had to write down 5 new people she learned about, and then 25 new things that she learned. She wrote down that Cain murdered his brother Abel. And that just really, I thought, wow, there's so much that we take for granted if you're raised in the church, or you come here on Sundays and you hear the Bible stories. So even if it is newer information to you, you think that's, you know, that's one that everybody knows, but there's a lot of people out there that don't know. What they know of the Bible is often what they see on TV, and a lot of these stories and things aren't covered in there. So she had no idea that right off the bat there is scandal and there is murder and lying and shame, and all the stuff today is right there in the very first book. She did not know that God allowed people to suffer in testing their faith, and that Job lost his farm and his family and his children and everything. She did not know that Proverbs is a collection of tips for living. She really liked Proverbs, and I do too, so we had a nice chat about that. She did not know that a lot of people struggled in the Bible. And she didn't know that religion isn't just ritual. It's about treating people with love and fairness. So she's got a lot of other things written in there too, but as they turn these in and they are picking out their clothes, we're scanning through, we're looking for talking points. We're trying to build those relationships so that they'll come back over and over again. And we are really focusing on praying with them. That's something that we have little reminders all over. So before they leave, we say, can we pray for you? And no one's ever said, no, I'm good. No, never. And we've been doing that for 2 years. Everybody's like, yeah, actually. And sometimes what they say really takes your breath away at what they need prayer for. And just to be able to stop right there and you know, either to write it down or to pray with them, you know, whatever God leads, you kind of have to read their comfort level. I find it really rewarding when you get to pray with someone who's never had anybody just put a hand on them and pray with them before. It's kind of moving. So one of our clients, we said, you know, if we were going to do some advertisements, what are some things that we should tell people that don't know about Heartbeat to let them know about us? And so I've highlighted some things from a letter from Sierra. She said, Heartbeat in Morrow County is a wonderful organization. I heard about Heartbeat from a lady I went to church with. I thought, they probably won't help me. I'm from Richland County, but I gave them a call anyway, and they were glad to help me. When I walked through their doors, I was a single mom of 3, ages 3, 1.5, and a few months old. I had no clue what I was walking into, but any kind of help would have helped me greatly. They didn't ask my situation. They just helped me watch over my children so I could pick out some clothes and blankets and diapers to help my family. As I was finishing up, they asked if there was anything they could pray for me about. Whenever I hear those words, I get lost in the moment because, unfortunately, I don't take enough time to pray, especially for myself. And I feel that when someone else is willing, they truly care. When I hit rock bottom, I had lost daycare, I couldn't work, My child support wasn't reliable, and so I turned to Heartbeat. The ladies were very caring, loving, nurturing, and understanding, and they passed no judgment. I came from a family that lacks all of those things, and I need them very much, very hard for me. But I always find whatever I need within these amazing walls at this specific location. Whether it be clothes or diapers, a hand with my children for 10 minutes, a listening ear, or someone to talk to, or even ask, what can we do for you? Even a simple prayer. I feel at home here, and I feel like someone just generally cares for me and my family. The point is, if you or anyone you know is in need of anything, don't hesitate to reach out. Heartbeat has helped pick me up when I was down and has continued to bless my family. I'm beyond grateful for them and all they do for our community and more. My family is doing great now. I still love coming here. We give back by donating to things that no longer fit our children and things we no longer need. Thank you, Sierra. And I read that not to say, look at the wonderful thing we're doing, but to say, look at the wonderful thing you're doing. Because you've supported us for so long, and sometimes there's a look of surprise on the client's face when they say thank you, and we say, you're welcome, but it's not us, it's the area churches. They've donated these things, and they donate money to keep our lights on and keep it warm in here. And sometimes they're surprised because, again, what they know of church is often what they've seen on TV. And they're afraid that there's going to be, judgment for their situation. And so when they find out that there's love and compassion and understanding and caring, it really gives them a lot of hope. So I wanted to make sure that when I come and talk, it's not just just a commercial for Heartbeat, but something you can take into your own lives and use as well. So I'd like to share with you some of the verses that we do share with our clients when we get to build relationships with them. And since it's Halloween, fear is a good topic, and that's what a lot of our clients are filled with when they come. They're scared. Some of them have families that are going to support them and be there for them, and some of them don't. Some of them have no one. Some of them have no idea what they're going to do. And so they are very scared. And I think we know as Christians that the opposite of fear is faith. When we're scared, we put our faith in God. And that is very freeing and takes a huge weight off of our shoulders. And if we can help them to do that, it relieves a lot of stress in their lives, and it helps them to go through their daily routine without the extra weight of the stress that doesn't have to be there. When I was a kid, I was always afraid of tornadoes, because I remember the Cardington tornado. We were in Iberia, but I remember going through and seeing that. And I remember my mom said, well, the opposite of fear is faith and knowledge. So we learned about tornadoes, so I would know when to be afraid. So I knew, that's just a storm, it's going to blow over, or this is something we need to be worried about. And at those times when we were afraid, to learn to pray. And that stuck with me, because God does know what's going to happen. He has kind of seen the outside of the puzzle box, and we can only see our tiny little piece of the puzzle. And we don't know exactly what the big picture is, but He does see the big picture. And that's really evident in what I think is the most comforting verses. They're in Psalms 139:13-16. And it applies to Heartbeat because it's about babies, but it also talks about God having it all figured out as well. In verse 13, it starts out, "You created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in the secret place, when I was woven together in the depths of the earth. Your eyes saw my unformed body, and all the days ordained for me were written in your book before one of them came to be." And I find that very comforting, because we've been in a very scary time where a lot of people don't know what's happening, and a lot of people have been filled with a lot of fear. People who aren't afraid have normally been, that normally are not afraid, have been filled with fear. Things happened that we didn't ever think was going to happen. Our whole world shut down. And to know that God knew that was going to happen, and that He had a plan, and that He knows which people that COVID was going to call home to Him, and which people are still going to be standing after it passes over, He knows all of that. And that takes a huge weight off of a lot of people's shoulders, to know that God already has it figured out. But there are some people that question that. When I was in when I was in college, I loved college. I'm a teacher. I love going to school. I love learning, but I hated my philosophy class because it rattled my faith. I was raised in the church, and everything I believed was because the preacher said so, and I knew that, and I learned it, and that's what it is. And those are not good arguments for people that are arguing with you. You have to be strong in your Bible. And so to try to argue with some of the things they were saying about free will was difficult. They said, well, if God already has all your days and he knows what you're going to do, then you don't have free will. You're just like walking around like Ken and Barbie, and he's making you do things. And at the time, I couldn't argue with that. But now now that I am a parent, I have a good comeback. I wish I could go back and talk about that, because as a parent, I know my children well. I have three of them, and they are all as different as night and day. You would think they didn't have the same parents, but I know them well, and I know what they're going to do most of the time. They rarely surprise me. I can pretty much figure out what they're going to do. And God knows us well, and he knows what we're going to do. It doesn't mean he's making us do it. A good example is like if you see your kid running across the playground towards a swing, and somebody's swinging, and you know they're going to get kicked in the head, and you yell for them to stop, and they don't listen, and they get kicked in the head. And I think God looks down and sees us doing it all the time. He's like, stop, what are you doing? Turn around, don't do that, don't talk to her, don't go there. And we do it. We get kicked in the head, and we end up on the ground, all bloody. And we pick our kids up, and we dust them off, because we know that it's a little bit of blood, and they're going to be fine probably in 10 minutes. But this is short term. They're going to be okay. And sometimes when we're down and we're bloody and we are having trouble getting back up, he would just pick us right back up and dust us off, because he knows that this is really temporary. No matter how big we think our problem is, it really is temporary, and that he's going to be there with us to get us through this and past this, and we're going to be okay. I find a lot of comfort in that. And so I really like to share that with our clients that feel like they have no hope and no one on their side, to know that God already knew that you were going to have a baby, and he already has a plan for that child, that he knows what's coming next. There was just a pastor that passed away in Mount Gilead a couple weeks ago. Some of you may have known him. I think it was a Lutheran church. His name has slipped my mind. But when I was speaking there, he shared that he was adopted, that his mom had considered abortion, and then she had chose life and gave him up for adoption. And then he touched so many people and brought so many people to God. God has a plan for all of us. We just don't know exactly what it is. We just have to keep following his lead. There's a story about fear in here, a story that often doesn't get brought up at church because there's a prostitute in this story. But it's a good one for Heartbeat, because, you know, some of them got into the situation where they have a little one because they trusted someone and got in over their head, and now they have a little one and they're alone. And some of them have led, you know, quite a wild life up until this point. There's lots of different situations. In this story, it's the story of Rahab. Joshua sent two spies to Jericho. And so the spies end up at Rahab's house. Because there are a lot of men coming and going, a lot of secrets being told. It's a good place to hide. No one's going to think anything of these extra visitors being there. So they're up on the roof. Hiding there. And then Rahab comes up to them. And so in Joshua, the second chapter, in verse 8, before the spies lay down for the night, she went up on the roof and she said to them, I know that the Lord has given this land to you, and that a great fear of you has fallen on us, so that all who live in this country are melting in fear because of you. We have heard how the Lord dried up the water of the Red Sea for you when you came out of Egypt, and what you did to Sihon and Og, the two kings of the Amorites east of the Jordan, whom you completely destroyed. And when we heard of it, our hearts melted, and everyone's courage failed because of you, for the Lord your God is God in heaven above and on earth below. So right there in verse 11 is her confession of faith. She is a wild woman that's had lots of sins, and she is knowing, she is confessing her faith in God because she is scared. And sometimes that's what it takes. Sometimes it takes COVID. Sometimes it takes cancer. Sometimes it takes accidents. Sometimes it takes these unplanned pregnancies to rattle us to the point where we're scared, and we need to turn to God. and that's where Rahab is at this point. Now then, because please swear to me by the Lord that you will show kindness to my family because I have shown kindness to you. Give me a sure sign that you will spare the lives of my father and my mother, and my brothers and sisters, and all who belong to them, and that you will save us from death. It really stuck out to me that she didn't say, save me. She was praying for her family. And that's where a lot of these clients are when they come. They don't really think that they have a lot of worth or value. They think that they're already a lost cause. But some of them begin to build relationships because they don't want that for their child. And so we're not just, you know, saving the life, but to make sure that that mom knows that she has value and that God sees her, and to get them plugged in with the church so that they come in through the doors and hang out, take some notes, bring us that bulletin, get a baby book for that. You know, come in and check it out, because these kind of Bible stories are real, and people are real, and Christians are real, and all of us mess up every single week. And so we come back here to learn and to lean on each other, and that they are very much welcome here. We just hope that we can relieve some of their stress by giving them the things they need, but also feeding them spiritually and emotionally, teaching them to give it to God, to know that they are forgiven, that they are loved, that they are protected, and to end with Ephesians 2, 1 through 10. This is another one I like to share with them if I can, if they feel like they're not good enough. In the second chapter it says, as for you, you were dead in your transgressions and sins when you used to live. The devil changes my prescription every time I get in front of him. As for you, you were dead in your transgressions and sins in which you used to live when you followed the ways of this world and the ruler of the kingdom of the air, the spirit who is now at work in those who are disobedient. All of us also lived among them at one time. And it's important for them to know that everybody sins, that there's nobody perfect. We were gratifying the cravings of our sinful nature and following its desires and thoughts. And like the rest, we were by nature objects of wrath. But, here's the good part, because we're all sinners, but, in verse 4. But because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ even when we were dead in transgressions. It's by grace that you've been saved. And God raised us up with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus, in order that in the coming ages he might show the incomparable riches of his grace expressed in his kindness to us through Christ Jesus. For it's by grace that you've been saved. And they don't really understand what grace is. They think grace is a prayer, a girl from their study hall, you know, something that grandma says before Christmas and Easter dinner. They don't really understand that grace is this gift of love that's there for them that they just need to accept. It's by grace that you've been saved through faith, just from believing in him. And it's not from yourselves, so if they're waiting until they're good enough to come to church, that's not going to work. We can't save ourselves. It's a gift of God, and it's not by work so that no one can boast, so preachers don't get extra credit heaven points. Sorry. And we don't get extra credit heaven points for working at Heartbeat. We can't boast that. You can't earn your way in. There's nothing we can do good enough to earn our way in. Our ticket's free. It's just there. We just need to believe in him and accept it, and have faith in him and follow him. For we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works which God prepared in advance for us to do. And I like that because it circles right back to that beginning one that God prepared in advance for us to do. He knows what we're going to do. He's got a job for all of us. When someone spoke at our church about Heartbeat, I was sitting there thinking, you know, some of my Cardington kids had some of them had some pretty crazy lives, and some of them were really looking for any kind of attention and affection they could get anywhere. I bet some of them probably end up at Heartbeat. There was one little girl in particular, I'm like, yeah, she probably is going to end up at Heartbeat. And so I said to the speaker afterwards, I said, you know, if you get any Cardington girls in there, you know, call me, maybe I can help. He's like, well, why don't you volunteer? So you can help all the time. So he talked me right into that. And as we were going through the training, we had our meetings, and we have a trainings a couple times a year. If you want to be part of Heartbeat, it's great. It's not a huge commitment. It's 2 hours a month. You're in there, and sometimes you get lots of clients, and sometimes very few come in, and you get to fellowship with another volunteer. They're all Christian volunteers. Some people don't want to be up front where the clients are. They want to be behind the scenes and hanging out, sorting the clothes and those kinds of things. And so there's lots of different ways to volunteer. But while we were there at the training, they took us in the back, and there was a wall, a bulletin board that had all of these pictures of all these different babies and moms that were our clients. And right there at the top was that little girl that had been on my mind. I forgot how many years it had been. She did end up being at Heartbeat. And I'm thankful that someone directed her there. So we are on Facebook. If you know any young people that you think could benefit from us, they can check us out there on social media. We're open on Tuesdays and Thursdays, so we do have limited hours, but those are all listed on there. I brought baby bottles today. I left them in my car. I'll throw one out and get those. I know you're familiar with our baby bottle campaign. If you want to set a baby bottle by your washing machine or on your dresser when you change your clothes, and drop some change in there, and just say a prayer as you do for the clients that haven't come to us yet, that need to, that they hear about us, and that we always have what everybody needs. I've been a volunteer there for about 10 years. There's only been one time we didn't have what someone needed, and I put a call out on Facebook, and we immediately had four of them within 20 minutes. So God has always provided what they have needed. And so just pray that they will come to us. We have the Walk for Life around Mother's Day. That's always fun. There's always donuts. Not a lot of exercise. It's a lot of fun. So if you if you're interested in being a volunteer and you want to come out and be part of us, or you want to bring out a Bible study group or a youth group and check out our facility and see what it's like, I have the keys and be glad to give you a tour at any point. So thank you so much for all that you've done over the years. You've supported us over and over again, and you are doing good work. Thank you.
Thanks, Kim.
And I'm sure every one of us here knew somebody that you